This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathira. Fama ba'du, my brothers and sisters, Ramadan al-Kareem is over. Now what? Ramadan came to make us muttaqoon, to make us people of taqwa, who are concerned about the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all that we say and all that we do. Did we succeed? Did we become muttaqoon? Michael Harry of Motorola, the author of the Six Sigma quality standard, he said, if you want to see what someone values, see what they measure. Think about this. We say time is money, but we happily waste time, but we are much more careful about money. So what do we really value? Time or money? Interestingly, as we all know, money can be replaced, but not time. We can make money, but nobody can make time. We can borrow money, but not time. And we will be questioned about our time when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, what are we more concerned about? Making more money or using our time more wisely? We talk about ROI, return on investment, which we equate to return on money. Our balance sheets and P&L accounts, profit and loss accounts, track money. What statement do we have that tracks time? How we spend it? What is the return on it? What can we do differently? What is the profit or loss of our time expenditure? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that good deeds and istighfar wipe out sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Innal hasanati yudhibna sayyi'at. In Surah Al-Hud, Allah said, verily, good deeds remove evil deeds. And same surah, He also said, Hud alayhi salam said to His people, وَيَا قَوْمِ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيَزِّدْكُمْ قُوَّةً إِلَىٰ قُوَّتِكُمْ وَلَا تَتَوَلَّوْا مُجْرِمِينَ. He said, O my people, ask forgiveness of your Rabb. Seek Allah's forgiveness. Repent. And then, repent to Him, then turn to Him. Istaghfiru, thumma tubu ilayk. Tubu ilayhi. Ask forgiveness and then repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Repent to Him. What will happen? He will forgive you and He will send you abundant rain from the sky. Rain refers to rain. Rain refers to also every kind of blessing that we can imagine. And He will add strength to your strength. He will make you stronger, more powerful, more able to do things. So do not turn away as criminals, as Mujrimun. Question I ask myself is, do we make, like we make our financial balance sheets, do we make virtue vice balance sheets, right? Like we have in a financial balance sheet, we have assets and liabilities, right? Debits and credits. Do we make virtue vice balance sheets, or do we keep virtue vice profit and loss accounts? I know we don't, but what if we did? How would that affect our lives? The reason we don't is because we don't see virtue and vice as profit and loss, though that is the only true profit and loss. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about our books of accounts. Right? He didn't say biographies. He didn't say, which is, in a way it is a biography, but Allah didn't call it that. He called it Hisab, the book of accounts. Do we realize who the authors of those books are? Not the Kiram and Katibin, not the angels. The Kiram and Katibin are only scribes. They only write down what happened. They are not the authors. They have no authority to write or erase anything in our book. Do we realize that we, on the other hand, have complete authority to not only to write, but on what we allow to remain in the book. Until the day when we meet Malakul Maut, our book is fully editable. We can write anything in it, we can delete anything from it. When we see the Malaika, when we see the angels, it is closed and sent for publication. No change can be made thereafter. On the Day of Judgment, the book will be published and given to us in a way that will show if we won or we lost. It will be given to us in our right hand. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, to receive our book in our right hands. Or it will be given to us in our left hand from behind our back. And this will itself will show whether this is the account of a winner or the account of a loser. On the Day of Judgment, this book will be published and given to us, as I mentioned, in a way which will show whether we won or lost. Our book, only we can write in it, only we can edit it, only we will receive it, and that will seal our fate forever. Our fate, our call. My fate, my call. Your fate, your call. No one else has anything to do with it. In Ramadan, which I call our taqwa boot camp, we learned and practiced new behaviors. We learned to awake early, to set goals, and to structure our time to meet those goals. We learned to focus and choose that which gives us a greater return over something else. We learned to focus on the long term, the akhirah, over the short term. And we learned delayed gratification, that is, to wait for the results of our efforts. No instant coffee. This is a sign of emotional maturity, which is the secret of success. Physical maturity is inevitable. Emotional maturity is optional. And that is why the difference between men and boys is the price of their toys. In Ramadan, we learned to control our anger and greed and passions. We learned the benefits of being alone, khilwa, of reflection, introspection, tadabbur, tafakkur, and of realigning the path of our destiny. To refer to the Michael Hari quote again, he says, if you want to know what somebody values, see what they measure. Let us see what we measure now. Now that Ramadan is over for this year. We don't know if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written another Ramadan for us. As I keep reminding myself and you, one Ramadan will be our last. I don't know if this one was my last. But if I don't want to regret that, then I must take stock and see what I need to do to consolidate my gains. In 1997, I was in San Francisco and I went to see a 3D film. It was a memorable experience. I recall it vividly to this day. As I sat in the theater and put on the 3D glasses, and the movie came on with surround sound, it was as if I was inside that movie. It was a film about sharks. And I'm sure that if anyone monitored my heart rate and breathing and, you know, brain cell activity, neuron activity in the brain and body temperature and so on, they would find clearly measurable changes. The movie was very real to me. It was as if the shark coming directly at me would eat me up. I had to tell myself, I had to remind myself from time to time that this was not real. We have the same experience in all well-made movies. Our emotions get hooked to our experience of sights and sounds until we totally forget that this is not real. We weep, we laugh, we are terrified, we are anxious, we are depressed, we are angry. In short, we are sad, glad, bad, mad based on the theory, on the story that we are watching. Even though we know cognitively here that this is all acting, it's false, it's concocted, nobody's dying, nobody is bereaved, nothing. Yet, We get completely hooked into that, and our emotions run the way that movie or the scriptwriter wants them to run. This is the situation of our lives. In our real life also, we are in a 3D cinema, wearing 3D glasses. The Anbiya alayhimus salam, the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they came to tell us to take off the glasses and see the reality, look at the reality. Remember that we must leave the theater shortly and return home. No matter how real the film seems to be, it's a film, it's not real. The delicious looking food will not fill your belly. The scenery, the danger, the thrills, the luxury is all virtual reality at work. It's virtual, it's not real. Don't get fooled by it. We must return home. If we want comfort in our homes, we must get the furnishings we need. We must spend the money, go to the store, buy what we need. It won't come on its own like in the movie. To win, we need consistent effort and sweat and tears and smartness. That's the analogy for Jannah, our real and permanent home, inshallah. This needs consistent effort, and it needs sweat and tears and smartness. It needs us to make the right choices based on one criterion alone, and that is the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is Allah pleased with this or not? The sooner we take off the VR glasses, the VR headset, the sooner we can prepare for the reality that we will face when the show ends. And that is the truth about all shows. They all end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, everyone will taste death. And only on the day of resurrection shall you be paid your wages in full. And whoever is removed away from the fire, and we ask Allah this for us all, and whoever is removed away from the fire of Jahannam and admitted into Jannah, only that person is successful. He indeed is successful. The life of this world is only the enjoyment of deception. It's a deceiving thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us four things in this ayatul kareema. Number one, that this show will end. Number two, final winners and losers will be decided when it ends. Number three, that the winners are those who are saved from the hellfire. And four, that this show is a show. It's not real. This is the essence of taqwa, to keep reminding ourselves that this life is not real. Its goals are not real. Its standards are not real, if not clearly toxic. It's a distraction from what is real, real goals and the real criteria of success, the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. Ramadan came to make us obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything in our life. If we find ourselves being obedient in some things and not in others, then remember that selective obedience is disobedience. It is easy to be obedient in things that we like to do anyway. That's why the masjid is full for Taraweeh, but not for Fard Salah. Let us ask ourselves why, and what that means, and what is that telling us about our real spirit of obedience. That is what needs to change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us and said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, innama al-khamru wal-maisiru wal-ansabu wal-azlamu rijsum min amali shaytani fashtanibuh la'allakum tuflihun. To give you an example of selective obedience that we practice in our lives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in Surah Al-Ma'idah, O you who believe, intoxicants, which is alcohol, which is all kinds of drugs, tobacco, all of this comes into that. All intoxicants, all forms of gambling, whether it's horse racing, whether it is lotteries, whether it is dog racing, whatever. All forms of gambling, al-ansab and azlam, fortune-telling, are an abomination, are the filth of shaitan's handiwork. Shaitan's handiwork is filthy anyway, this is the cream of that filth. So avoid, stay away, far away from that abomination in order that you may be successful. What is our life? We go to the masjid, but we will not leave dealing in haram. We read Quran, but with the same tongue we curse and tell lies and backbite and slander. We don't eat pork, but we drink alcohol, and we buy and sell lottery tickets, and we deal with fortune tellers. Vastu, shastu, all this we do. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not differentiate between these sins. He called all of them the filth of shaitan and warned us to stay away from them if we want to be successful. Ask a simple question, why do we indulge in these things anyway? To be successful. We think this is where success is. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us the opposite. Who do we believe? Who do we believe? Let me give you some statistics. In 2019, 79,000 people died thanks to alcohol. Alcohol-related deaths in the year 2019 were 79,000 people. In 2020, it was 99,000 people. Alcohol-related deaths. These deaths also included motor vehicle crashes that happened because of driving under the influence of alcohol. This doesn't tell us about what happened to the victims of those accidents, who didn't die, but many were maimed and paralyzed for life, thanks to the fact that somebody had a good time at a party, doing something which is perfectly legal in our society, which is the buying, selling, and consuming of alcohol. Think about this. Something which is killing close to 100,000 people every year. Something with this kind of destructive potential, and not just potential, it's happening in any society of thinking, ethical, moral, intelligent people. How should that thing be treated? Should it be legal? Should it be allowed? Should it be promoted? But in our society, alcohol is not only legal, but if you are a business, then it's a tax-deductible business expense. And that is because we have made profit our only criterion of success. That makes us ibadul fulus, the slaves of money, not ibadullah, not the slaves of Allah. But Jannah is not for ibadul fulus. Jannah is for ibadullah only. That is the choice we must make if we have iman. As the Urdu poet said, Bagh bahan bhi khush rahe, razi rahe, sayyad bhi, ye nahi chalega. This will not work. Ramadan came to give us a breather, time to realign our priorities so that we change our destination. Ramadan is the exit ramp. If we took it, it will take us to the highway leading to Jannah. If we don't take it, then we still continue on the same highway that we are traveling. And if this one is not leading to Jannah, it won't suddenly, Jannah will not appear at the end of the highway. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands that we choose, that we make a clear choice. Shaitan is our enemy, so treat him like an enemy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this, Inna shaitana aduwwum fattakhizuhu aduwwa. But we treat shaitan as our advisor and friend. And we treat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah as our enemies. We want to borrow and lend money on interest. And then we wonder why our dua is not accepted. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our enemy, who will accept our dua? And who will help us? We eat anything without bothering about whether it is halal or haram. And then we wonder why our dua is not accepted. We donate money to the masjid or the madrasa or the orphanage, but nothing changes because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts only what is pure. You can't throw money at Allah and make difficulties go away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that difficulties come because of what we do. Zahara al-fasadu fil barri wal bahri bima kasabat aydin nas. The fasad, the trials, the tribulations, the difficulties, the calamities, the pandemics, the accidents, the wars, the misery, the suffering, the starvation, the sickness is because of the deeds that our hands earn. Read the ayat of Surah Ar-Rum. Our actions, our amal, not mal. And what amal brought in, mal cannot remove. Think about this. Can you lose weight by donating money to the gym? Or even by donating money in charity while still maxing out on carbs and sugars? Try it. So how can we change the conditions we face because of our amal, because of our deeds, by throwing money at them? What amal brought on, only amal can remove. So let us ask, what do I need to stop doing right now? What do I need to start doing right now? And then do it. Charity from haram wealth does not put out the fire or cool the anger of Allah. We have been trying it for decades. Has anything changed except for the worse? What are we waiting for? Total disaster? Doesn't take long if Allah decides. Let's not play games with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's always a very bad idea. Let us choose wisely our friends and our leisure activities and our leisure spots. A person is the product of his or her friends. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to us, in the akhirah, you will be with those you love. So let's ask, who do we love? And then say, look at them and think, where do they look like they are going? And ask ourselves the question and say, do I want to go to the same place with them? If not, the time to part company is now. Remember the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, where Rasulullah ﷺ said, if you sit in the shop of the perfumer, you will enjoy the beautiful aroma of the perfume and you will come out smelling good. But if you sit in the blacksmith's forge, you will smell smoke and sweat and your clothes will get stained with the coal dust and perhaps even burned by embers flying out of the fire. We have turned our world upside down. And then we wonder why our lives are full of stress and fear and depression and sadness and anger. Let us ask, what were my Ramadan goals? What did I achieve? What was the shortfall or surplus? And then ask, what's the plan to make up? Don't wait for next Ramadan to do it. There may not be another Ramadan in our lives. Let us seek forgiveness, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives, and change our attitudes and priorities and actions, knowing that istighfar without tawbah is a lie. To seek forgiveness without repenting and turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a lie. To seek forgiveness for something and to continue to do that is a lie about the forgiveness. Let us make our dua powerful. Earn and eat halal only. Safeguard against ar-riya, safeguard against showing off. Beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala humbly and sincerely. Love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fear sin. Let us change our qadr, let us change our destiny. Make true istighfar and then turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not from tomorrow, now. because tomorrow is always too late. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر لنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. والحمد لله رب العالمين. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.